What's up, everyone? This is the Next Tape Podcast, episode 25, with Mikhail
and Chica,
where we have conversations on different topics. So, how are you doing, Tanika? What's up? What's going on?
I am okay. I'm not 100% right now. Kind of briefly mentioned this on my other podcast, but
yeah.
Was just in the hospital yesterday, so still figuring out what's going on, still doing some investigation,
right.
But it looks like it could be my gallbladder. We'll figure it out, though.
Okay.
But yeah, still having pain,
You know, hope you get better as well.
Hopefully. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, I guess. I could be doing better, but
we're suffering with the daylight savings as well.
Oh, we're definitely. I usually do suffer every single year.
Yeah,
they should get rid of that, in my opinion.
I agree.
Like, they were even talking about it, like, I think, like, years ago about it, and nothing has been done about daylight savings because it's really unhealthy.
I agree.
To be doing this every single year, it ages people. It, you know, like 20 years.
I don't know if it's that extreme, but
I
wasn't too affected this year just because I fell asleep before the time change happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I did get a headache.
No.
But I did sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I know my boyfriend went to bed at 12 in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
With the time change, obviously, he had to wake up at 5 in the morning to go to work by 7. So he only slept 4 hours.
Mm.
And he works, like, manual labor type job. So it's not really great to be that tired and doing a more physically demanding job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great.
Also, you know, like, I feel bad for the travelers too, who, you know, who travel, you know, around the world, and you have to deal with that as well. So, like,
that's when you're dealing crazier with jet lag in general, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Depending on where you're going.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, okay, so what are we talking about today, Tanika?
So we're kind of going back to our roots a little bit with this particular episode, and we're talking about different things that are happening in the news. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is CRA buying into a scam, apparently. We're going to touch a little bit on some of the Scream movie drama that's been going on. And we're also have an update for you with respect to the Murnau trial, as well as the Stanley Cup update, which I believe everybody should have by the original episode.
Okay. All right. And we should address something right now because we made a mistake in a previous episode. But, you know, let's get on to it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, in a previous episode, in one of our Black History Month episode,
I believe it was the last one. Yeah.
We made a mistake with the mayor saying that, you know,
her op-ed.
Hmm? Sorry?
Op-ed, what it's called.
Yeah.
She's not the mayor. She apparently is a counselor.
Yeah.
Pickering. Mainly, right?
I think her name is, Lisa Robinson, right?
Whatever.
Yeah, Lisa Robinson. Yeah, that's her name. She's a counselor. Go ahead.
Still your counselor, not my counselor. That still stands. At least that still stands.
Yeah. So yeah, we made that mistake. We thought it the article said the mayor said something about Black History Month, but it turns out it was just a counselor.
Still
The
somewhat
mayor.
important nonetheless, and
True.
right.
Yeah.
Although yes, we may have gotten that wrong in terms of what she is, it's nothing in comparison as to what she got wrong. So, we can correct our mistakes, though, unlike her.
Okay. Exactly. But the mayor did say something. He did apologize on her behalf.
RBF, which isn't enough,
Well,
in
he
my
shouldn't
opinion.
have. Yeah, he shouldn't have. He
I
shouldn't.
understand
And
why he
she.
did, but it's not enough.
Yeah, but she didn't want to apologize at all,
Which his
which.
apology means nothing then in that case.
Yeah. So hopefully the mayor speaks to her behind the scenes, or it's just,
Or she get the kick out.
who knows? I haven't seen any type of news or update that she's either getting suspended or fired or et cetera. So like, we might update you guys in case anything happens on that situation. But for now, we got that that wrong with the council and the mayor. So we just wanted to get things straight for now.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, moving on.
So, CRA apparently was buying into some sort of scam that happened. So, let's get into kind of what happened here. So, in early 2020, CRA came to believe it had made a $63 million mistake. The sum, the agency concluded, had been paid out in illegitimate tax refunds as part of what is now alleged as a sham designed to deceive. So, Iris Technologies, which is a company based in Markham, had increased its sales from $27 million to 800 million in 2 years, according to CRA records. Buying and then exporting bulk internet telephone minutes had put the firm in a position to claim more than 120 million in tax refunds. So the CRA said in court filings that Iris, quote, knew or was willfully blind to the fact that it was involved in what is known among tax experts as a carousel scheme. Samer Bishay, I believe is how you say his name, which is Iris's CEO, has denied the allegations and launched multiple appeals in the Federal Court of Appeal, Federal Court, and the Tax Court of Canada. Iris is also suing the agency for $275 million, alleging abuse of process, misrepresentation, and misfeasance in public office.
Interesting.
I don't see them winning because, at the end of the day, if they did claim over and beyond what they should have been claiming, you're not winning anything. Whether or not that was purposeful is to be maybe determined. Maybe it wasn't purposeful, but at the end of the day, like, Sarah doesn't play. If you're claiming more than you should be, they're gonna come for you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you, but I've been audited and I'm told, like, we gave you too much, so give it back. Like, it happened to my mom. Like, it happens. And we are individuals. So when you're going after companies that, that's kind of huge
Yeah.
amounts of money that you're claiming.
I never have that experience in what
I don't wish
even
it.
with an
It's
accountant
annoying.
or yeah, even with an accountant or with doing it on my own. So like basically I usually either get a refund or I either owe.
Well, you get a
So
refund. So in what happened, because it happened, I believe, 2021, Weiss for me, mm-hmm. Weiss for my mom. Mm-hmm. You get the refund. That's the whole point. You get your refund, and then what they do, like say July, August, when tax season's now done, is they pick a handful of people and they audit those people. And if things don't look on the up and up, then they come back to you and say, we need proof of X, Y, and Z. And if you can't provide that proof, well, then you're stuck having to pay back whatever that portion of the refund is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it usually turns out.
You think this individual was being like, you know, greedy?
But that's the thing, like I said, like I don't know if them claiming 800 million versus what they were doing before, or was it 200 million? I think I said whatever they were doing before, I think it was 80 million. I don't know if that was purposeful or if that was, you know, them missing the mark by accident. So I don't know.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, lesson learned. Just do your taxes right, people, because like if you don't,
it's important.
Yeah, it's important. There's softwares out there such as TurboTax.
But even TurboTax, like you need to, because I've done my own taxes too, you need to make sure that you're following the instructions. If you have basic things to claim, like for me, basic thing I usually claim is my income and my student loan documents. That's simple. But if you're going over and beyond that, like if you have kids and you're getting like the, you know, child tax and what everything like that, like that can make it a little more complicated. And if you don't understand what you're doing and what needs to go where, are screwing yourself, not purposefully, but
exactly,
you still are.
Well, if you don't know what you're doing, then just talk to an accountant, you know, like they're the best solutions if you don't know what you're doing. So there's tons of resources out there. Like I said, TurboTax, like you said, do it properly. HR, Block, Canada, there's Wealthsimple Tax as well. Tons of resources out there to do your taxes. Like Tanika said, once again, just do it properly. Just do it properly.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. It's like, so kind of going back to the article for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
In these cases, when you're dealing with these companies, like they don't do it themselves. They do have an account.
Mm.
You know, that whether it's their in-house accounting department or somebody else who's handling it, this is their job and they do this. So like, I just don't understand like how this got screwed up so badly. But kind of going more into it, an investigation by the Fifth Estate and Radio Canada's Enquête, which is French, into carousel schemes in Canada has revealed international networks of sophisticated criminals claiming hundreds of millions of dollars from Canadian government coffers while facing few to no consequences. Cryptocurrency transactions, bank records, false invoices, and corporate filings in Canada, the United States, and the United Kingdom were all essential pieces of a scheme which, at its center, rely on Canada's outdated tax rules and an unwitting CRA. That's very interesting that actually, like, our kind of how we do things here in Canada is considered outdated. I would never have thought that.
Well, I don't have that much cryptocurrency, but this year I sold some of my cryptocurrency. I only had Bitcoin and Ethereum. If you probably don't know what that is. Ethereum, you don't know what it is. That was the only two coins I had. And it's when I do my taxes, or when I started doing my taxes here, it falls under the capital gains form.
Okay.
Right. So like the same with like if you have an investment account under your non-registered, that falls under the capital gains as well. So your non-registered account, your crypto account falls under the capital gains form on your tax application. So yeah, it's kind of difficult to understand the cryptocurrency side of things when it comes to taxes. A lot of people think you don't have to do your taxes when it comes to cryptocurrency, which mm-hmm. is not true. Mm-hmm. You have to do them. It's on the form.
It's considered income.
Yeah, it's considered on the tax form. So okay. So it is true. You have to pay your taxes when it comes to cryptocurrency.
Hmm.
Go ahead.
So the case involving IRAs is one example among many that the Fifth Estate found in tax court records. Well, I believe that the fault here is with the tax authority, and this was said by Mike Cheatham, who is a Dubai-based tax fraud analyst, an expert on the subject of carousel schemes.
Right.
He says, quote, "There will always be criminals. They will always attack the low-hanging fruit, and your tax system is wide open for this fraud." So it's very interesting to hear from mm-hmm. his perspective. Well known to authorities is the EU and the UK. In the EU and the UK, is a carousel scheme sees participants pass goods around in a circle of companies, failing to pay sales tax when the goods are imported, but collecting a tax refund on the export. You can't do that.
Right.
Each trip around the carousel yields another refund and more profit for those involved. Often, the transactions exist only on paper, with no goods or money changing hands. In another iteration, schemers surround a legitimate company collecting sales tax payments and never sending them to the government. So these are different ways that you can do this type of scheme. Whether IRAs participated in the scheme or was completely unaware, as I've said, is yet to be determined by the court. Quote, "I believe they say the problem is three suppliers down. So a supplier of a supplier, if that even makes sense." And this was said by Bechet in an interview. And I think Bechet is, I believe I said it was the CEO, I think. But quote, "If the issue is there, then they need to go after these guys and charge them criminally because it's public money." So internal CRA documents have been made public as part of the court filings in the IRAs case. So I guess if you look hard enough, you can probably find these court filings. Because any other day, court filings, anything like that, is public record unless there's a publication ban, so everyone can get access to this. Right. They provide a rare glimpse into the operations of Canada's tax authority and include auditor memos detailing phone calls and interviews with IRAs and its accountants at Deloitte. So they do have accountants and its accountants at Deloitte, so someone's screwing up here, whether it's the company or Deloitte, but I can't see it being Deloitte, because I feel like they're going to put forward things that they're given. So if they're not being given the proper information, then they're kind of the middleman, in my opinion, anyways.
True.
So the CRA now says it's curtailed an audit of IRAs because of pressure from the telecom firm, eventually releasing a $63 million claimed by IRAS between July of 2018 and August 2019.
Oh, wow.
But when IRAS began to claim an additional $86 million in tax refunds in September of 2019, the CRA refused to pay and reopened the file. So it seems like they've done this before and then did it again, which is stupid.
That's crazy.
In a statement, the CRA said that since 2017 and 2018, More than $1.1 billion has been identified through audits targeting carousel schemes. According to the European Public Prosecutor's Office, carousel fraud is, quote, the most profitable crime in the EU, costing around 50 billion euros annually in tax losses to member states. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Well, when I started investigating this some years ago, there was not a lot of focus from the police authorities around Europe. And this was said by Bo Elikjær, I believe. And he's a journalist with the Danish newspaper Dagbladet, I believe. I think I got that right. That's basically it, but...
Yeah. What's the moral of the lesson?
Do your taxes properly and don't screw with...
Yeah.
Don't screw
with the three-letter words. The IRS and the CRA.
And the CRA.
And the CIA.
CIA?
I'm playing. People are always scared of the CIA. Similar to what the IRS.
CIA is different, though.
I know. They're always
CIA is like... They're beyond the FBI.
Yeah.
They're in that wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And Interpol. I'm not messing with it, either of those.
That's what Americans are scared of. The IRS and the CIA.
So. Well, we here in Canada should be also scared of the CIA. Interpol.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of people watch too many movies on seeing what the CRA or the IRS do. Like,
no, the IRS is serious.
You think they do the stuff what they do in movies in real life?
What do you mean, though, in terms of the IRS? Right.
Come to your house, knock on your door, get the FBI, come to your, you know, every single thing?
It depends.
Interesting.
It depends.
Huh.
Because again, you have to remember the FBI isn't just about like egregious criminals, right? They have different branches, just like any other agency. So it really just depends. But like when I think of like the IRS, for example, I'm using this as an example. Don't laugh at me. But when you have like Mike the Situation not paying his taxes, how do you think they landed him in prison for not paying his taxes?
Right.
And not only him, but also his brother as well, who actually got more time than he did. So, yeah, they are serious. They are just nothing to play with.
I thought they just sent you a mail and tell you that this is unpaid taxes or whatever. But I didn't think they just send like, you know, IRS employees knocking on your door, and then you know they have like you know FBI or police officers, you know,
the IRS
to arrest you.
In my opinion, is very similar to like creditors trying to get their money back. They're serious. They're not like the CRA here. The CRA does send you things in the mail or whatever and hope for the best. That's not the IRS. The IRS will come for you. Something to play with.
That's the motto, right? The IRS will come for you.
Basically.
Same with the CRA. They will come for you.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. I thought that was a myth, but it's true now. So, all right. What's the next one?
So the next one is, there's a little bit of drama surrounding the Scream movies. Now, if you are a Scream fan like me, you know with the changes with the most recent movies, which would be 5, 6, and 7, and currently 7, I think, is in the making.
I heard some rumbling with Jenna.
Jenna Ortega, yeah.
Yeah.
So before we get into that, though, again, as we know, with the from the 5th to the 6th movie, we and I'm not talking so much about I can never remember his name, so bear with me, but Dewey, the guy who played Dewey, we lost him due to him being killed off the movie, so it's a different situation. Mm-hmm. But we did lose Neve Campbell because she felt that she wasn't being compensated to what she deserved for coming back onto the movies, which I think I said this in a previous episode.
Right.
She is the reason that the movies are as good as they are. Okay, she has out.
Is she an actor or a director?
She's an actor. She plays Sydney Prescott. If you watch any of the Scream movies, no,
none of them.
Are you serious?
That's
gonna change because our Halloween episodes are gonna be a little different than we did last year, and you will be watching some of the Scream movies, at least one.
Right.
I can't remember how we're doing that, but you'll at least be watching one at the very least.
I'll try to watch one at least, but you know, I haven't watched
any. You have to watch at least the original. I think once you watch the original, you can get sucked in and you can continue on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I mean, I watch them every year, so. But yeah, with that, she plays Sydney Prescott. She's the main person. She has been what they call in, especially slasher movies, is the final girl. She is, I wouldn't say the original, that goes to Jamie Lee Curtis, but she is one of the main final girls. So
interesting.
She's the reason the movies have gone on for so long. It's been her, Courtney Cox, who plays Gail Weathers, as well as Dewey, who again, David Arquette. Finally came to me, David Arquette, who plays Dewey. And they have been the main people. Now, Courtney Cox is still a part of it, but that's the only person. But at least with the new movies, they have found ways to keep it going. They're kind of, again, you're not going to quite understand because you haven't watched the other movies, but they are kind of backing off of the original movies in this really perfect way. But it still doesn't mean that we shouldn't be having the main people, or at least the people that we are now used to seeing, like Jenna Ortega.
Right.
So apparently this broke some time ago, so this is a little old, but this broke that Melissa Barra was apparently a producer. She was fired by Spyglass, which I'm not sure if that's somehow a part of Scream. I'm gonna say probably. But she was fired over social media messages that deemed to be anti-Semitic. So bye.
Interesting.
We don't need you, but bye.
I thought she did.
This is not Jenna Ortega that I'm talking about yet. This is a producer.
Right. Okay.
So her posts were regarding Israel and Hamas war. So not great. That decision was made after the company was notified that Jenna Ortega, whose star has risen considerably since she joined these movies, as well as being on Wednesday as well. And I just have to say this because they've mentioned him on here, and he is the original person who created these movies. Wes Craven, I have to mention him. He's the reason we have these movies. But Jenna Ortega is not going to be returning due to a scheduling conflict with the second season of her smash Wednesday. Which that's really record. Sucks. But like at the same time, like Wednesday's not gonna go without her at the same time.
And is this right? If they paid her more money, she would have done the movie? Or is that a rumor too?
I don't know. Have you heard that?
I heard something like that. It might have been a rumor. It might have been if they would have paid her a lot more than.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Paycheck.
I wouldn't be surprised though.
Okay.
Only because of how I saw how they handled Neve Campbell, I wouldn't be surprised if they're not paying her enough.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So backlash to the producer's situation has been a little bit of an issue with the film's director, Christopher Landon, reacting to the events surrounding her exit. So he posted and then later deleted a statement on, I'm not fucking calling it X, on Twitter, on Tuesday that read, quote, "Everything sucks. Stop yelling. This was not my decision to make." Mm. Well, Arthen, are you trying to say that you wouldn't have made that decision then? Like, come on. But it seemed as on fans like the planned sequel was collapsing in real time, which it definitely looked that way, honestly, because it, to make this also make sense for you, Mikal, Jenna Ortega plays a sister, so she's a sister of another woman,
mm-hmm,
who is
spoiler alert, by the way, just in case anybody hasn't seen it.
Go ahead. Come on. Okay, yeah, fine. Spoiler for this part, I guess. Because that's not really a spoiler per se. This part, okay, though, it's for those who maybe haven't seen the movies and are Scream fans. She is a sister of a girl, technically half-sister of a girl, oh, who finds out that she is actually the daughter of the original killer in the original movie, which was Billy Loomis. So, and she, the whole thing is kind of, she has like the, they're trying to make it seem like she kind of has like the serial killer gene or something,
right,
in her because of Billy Loomis, because he was a serial killer. He killed a lot of fucking people in that movie, but it, I mean, yes, I guess you can continue on with her and only her, but then you'd be continuing on with her and only her, and then her sister's friends. It would be really weird, just because like her sister is the one with the friend group.
Mm.
So then how is that? I mean, there is a connection between her and these other kids, but they are much younger than her. So like, I don't know how that's gonna work. Maybe it will work. But again, like, because they're, again, to not spoil it, but I'm spoiling it. The first new movie is very similar to the first movie because it, again, the killings again happened in the same home. Because again, if for those who remember, who've watched the movies, know there's two killers in the first movie and the second, but there's two killers. It's Billy Loomis and Stu Mocker.
Right.
And all the killings happen at Stu's home. And then in the first one, the first new one, it happens at Stu's home again, because that girl's family bought the house or something. Like, I don't think there was a family connection. I can't remember. There might have been, I just don't remember. So that worked. And then when you have the second one again, the second new one alongside the second old one, was that they were, it was a family of this other killer from the new movie, who was actually one of the boyfriends or whatever, was killed, and so there his family is avenging his death. Very similar to the second movie where Billy Loomis's mom is trying to kill Cindy because she's trying to avenge her son's death. So that worked again, and it was perfect. It worked. I don't know how the third new one would work, only because it was, actually, you guys, I just talked myself into it. It could work. Maybe maybe Billy Loomis had another kid. That would be great, because with the third movie, it was Cindy found out that her mom had a son before she got married and had her. Right. And that was never privy to anybody. And he was the killer, the brother, or half brother, was the killer. So maybe it could work. But still, I feel like we shouldn't be losing Jenna Ortega.
Right.
She is a busy girl. She's doing that. Mm-hmm. And
she's doing a
big thing. Apparently going to be in Beetlejuice, too.
She's a cool girl. Like,
yeah.
I've seen, you know, she takes no, I would say she has a backbone. Like,
mm-hmm.
If the script is not right, she will let the directors know.
Which is good. It's good to have that kind of freedom to do that.
Yeah. And
not many people do, especially at her age.
At her age, she's like, how old is she? Let me just do
it. In her 20s easily, but so yeah. So while you do that, it seemed to some fans like the planned sequel was collapsing in real time, like I said. However, even before Barrera was fired, plans for the next Scream was being retooled. So Ortega's exit had required the creative team to make some alterations, according to individuals with knowledge. But there were still hopes that the actress might be convinced to come back for some sort of cameo. That no longer seems to be in the cards, though. Another source familiar with the franchise disputed this, saying Ortega was never in the mix for the new film. Right. That's so sad. So sad.
Yeah.
And she's
21 years old.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she's very, baby. Very young.
She's a baby. Your brother is 21. He's a baby.
Yeah.
Lord. So James Vanderbilt and Guy Buzek. I know for the name Vanderbilt, James Vanderbilt, before. Anyways, the writers of the previous two Scream installments, which is the more recent ones, will now work on a fresh draft to present to filmmakers. Some set pieces and twists may be preserved, but the movie will need to find new protagonists. So I don't know if they're going to be dropping the two sisters altogether or what they're doing. But Ortega and Barrera signed on for two Scream movies, and they fulfilled those obligations with installments 5 and 6. So they would have needed new deals for the 7th chapter anyway.
Yeah, I think it would have been expensive too, because who?
I do want to do a quick search actually to see if I actually do know who this Barrera chick is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me figure this out. Because I'm actually thinking she might have actually been in the movie. But I need to figure that out. So give me 1 second while I do that. Yes. Yes. I'm done.
Okay.
All right. Melissa Barrera was the other sister.
Right.
She was this. Okay. So it was her and Jenna Ortega were the sisters. So that means they're going to have to do a complete revamp. Which really sucks. Because I think the whole idea of these new movies was to kind of go alongside the older movies.
Right.
And that is meant to still have the same people in them. Though I don't know how this is going to turn out. And not only that, but again, because I know you don't quite understand, they also had people in the movie who were related to one of the other characters who died in the second movie, was Randy. People who are fans of the movie know Randy.
Right.
He was he's been very pivotal in the first really three movies, even though he died in the second movie. He kind of is the person who kind of narrates of, well, like the next thing that kind of happens in the scary movie is this. So, you know, we're talking about franchise or whatever. So they kind of had that carried on in the new movies as well with his niece and nephew. So I just don't know how you continue that on without revamping the entire thing altogether. So I don't know. Personally, for me, I am a huge fan of the Scream movies. Always have been since I was young. I love them. They hold cherish them in my heart. But maybe it's time to let it go. Unless they can do something that works, then perfect.
But, so, like, 6 was the last movie, right? Was the last one?
6 was the last one. Yeah, came out I think last year.
Did it left? Well, spoilers alert. Did it left any like cliffhangers, anything like that?
Well, these movies are never really famous for leaving cliffhangers. Really, they don't really do that because there's never really necessarily a cliffhanger. We have to remember with the Scream movies is that there's always someone picking up the torch in a sense and is the next ghost face. So it's never really like someone not being killed and carrying that on. They're killed. It's someone picking up the ghost face torch and continuing on.
So they can revamp
it.
Okay.
The thing that we need to remember though is even though Ghostface is being changed in each movie, the protagonist for the most part, at least for the first, you know, for the first four movies, has always been the same. It's always been these core people, and those core people being Sidney Prescott, Gail Weathers, Dewey, they're the main core people. And they were trying to continue that on with the newer movies, being, you know, the sisters and Randy's niece and nephew. And you had like people coming back, and even Gail Weathers, she's still pivotal in the movies too. I just don't know how you continue on, because we don't have those core people anymore to kind of help push the movie into where it was. At least with the fifth movie, you had those core people, those core characters that we've all grown to love, helping push it. We don't have that. Unless Gail Weathers is coming back, unless Courtney Cox is still coming back. If she doesn't, we don't even have her. Because Nev is off, she's not coming back, and they've killed Dewey off, so you can't bring him back. I just don't know how you do it.
I mean, what they could do is just, like, you know, hire new actors, and then for the seventh one, and then the eighth one, maybe look into, you know, rehire some of
those people, which is true, they could do.
Yeah.
But then it's just feeling like a stab movie, which again, if you watch the Scream movies, you know, there's always this running theme of the stab movies, which I'm not gonna get into because you haven't seen the movies too much to explain. It's just kind of feeling like that. And one of the things in the fourth movie was that the stab movies are always the same. It's the same stupid thing. That is what will happen with Scream if they don't either A, really revamp this to be great, or give it up. These movies have been going on since 94. I don't know. Something's gotta give. I have one theory. And I think everyone's been screaming at them with this particular thing happen for a really long time, if you can bring back Matthew Lillard, who played Stu Mocker in the first movie, your movie's golden. We don't know if Stu died. We don't know. So what if that TV landed on his face? He'd be fine.
Okay.
That's what I think. That's what I want. But I want Matthew Lillard to come back.
Okay. All right. Either like, either recast, rebrand, or you know, bring back the actors with more money, which I wouldn't do for the third option because like you're going to hinder the movie. Yeah, because like that's like saying that you want Robert Downey Jr. for another movie and you're paying him and the movie suffers. So so I remember just off topic, they paid him in the first Spider-Man movie, Tom Holland $20 million for, if I remember, 10 minutes to be in the film. That's crazy.
That's ridiculous. That is,
yeah. And the good thing is that Marvel Studios has a lot of money, slash Disney.
But see, Tom Holland has done so well for himself that he can.
Yes.
He can demand that.
Oh, no, not Tom Holland. Robert Downey.
Or Robert Downey.
Yeah, Robert
for
Downey.
What?
Just being Tony Stark.
For why?
Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. For the most recent one that they did.
Yeah, the first that's the very first Tom Holland Spider-Man movie.
That was the first one, okay.
Yeah. He was in there and
their relationship was perfect. So I couldn't have imagined it any other way. But of course they had to make it happen.
Yes. Sony, Disney, Marvel, they made it happen. So going back to the Scream movie, if they paid Jenna Ortega more money,
maybe,
I feel like the Scream movies will suffer with the writing department. Go ahead.
But I think, again, I don't know if they're going to push it just because they're going to lose the sister edit because the other Melissa Barrera is no longer a part of the shows, the movies. So they're going to lose a sister edit. And the thing is, it's like, sure, you could revamp it to kind of be like, oh, she took off again or whatever. But the reason she took off was because she found out she was Billy Loomis's daughter. They've dealt with that. They've figured it out. She's not going to leave her sister. If you watch the movies, you know, like, her sister is her life. She's not going to walk away from her sister. So I just don't see how they continue that on then if she's not in the movie for great reasons or like how that works. But for those people who are Scream fans, there are some possibilities that, you know, we could hope and dream for. I've said mine, which is Matthew Lillard, but here's what the article says. Producers are keen to see Neve Campbell reprise her role as Sydney Prescott, but unless they can get that salary dispute figured out, it's probably not going to happen. Another possibility could be Patrick Dempsey. If we remember, he had been in the 2000 Scream movie, was Scream 3. He played a police officer. Again, I could see it, especially because he was in the third movie and we're kind of going into that third movie dynamic. It's possible that we could see him come back. But none of these actors have been active in any kind of negotiation at this point. Okay. So they do hope that Scream 7 does hit theaters in 2025. But I guess that really all depends on what they figure out.
Well, fingers crossed for the Scream fans out there. And hopefully,
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hopefully, you guys get a good movie in return. So hope for the best. So
thank you again. I appreciate that as a Scream fan.
All right. To the next topic.
So the next topic. Okay, so we have a little bit of an update here. We did talk about the Murdaugh trials here back in our jury trial episode, which was last year. So just as a quick update, for those who maybe didn't know, that Alex Murdaugh did appeal his decision from the trial last year, which is just shut up and do your fucking time, you disgusting piece of shit. But anyways, so basically there is now a decision on that appeal, and he will not be receiving a new murder trial. Mm-hmm. And the judge ruled this probably a couple months ago now at this point. His attorneys alleged the court clerk tampered with a jury that found him guilty in last year. So yeah, 2023, January 2023.
Right.
Which is true. That did happen. But the whole thing of appealing something based on an error like this, it really, the determination is whether or not the court clerk's tampering would have changed the verdict. And basically the judge is saying it wouldn't have changed a fucking thing. So Justice Jean Toll, who we think is the same judge who would have overseen the trial, so if it's at the same level, then it would be, it's usually is the same judge, said that the clerk was, quote, attracted by the siren call of celebrity and wanted to write a book. Jesus Christ. But that her, quote, fleeting and foolish comments did not ultimately influence the verdict and warrant a new trial, like I just said. One of the jurors who found Murdaugh guilty tested earlier Monday that comments made by Colton County Clerk of Court, that's long title, and anyway, the clerk's name is Rebecca or Becky Hill.
Okay.
This juror said that this court clerk comments influenced her verdict. Damn, are you that dumb? I'm gonna say this right now, and we talked about this. Right. You heard his voice on the Snapchat video when he said he was nowhere near there.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, his quote unquote alibi did not match. The timeline did not match. The fact that this man said some person came up to him and shot him in the head when it was just a flesh wound, and the person who shot him was his fucking cousin. You really trying to tell me you didn't think he was guilty before this? Really? Okay. Whatever you say, ma'am. Anyways. So, yeah. Murdaugh's lawyers allege that Becky Hill, made inappropriate comments to the jury during the murder trial last year, like I said. But obviously, like I said, the judge said, you know, it's a no for me, dog. Basically, we're not doing this shit again. South Carolina Attorney General Ellen Wilson also praised the judge's decision to deny a new trial, saying Murdaugh's convictions, quote, are based solely on the facts and evidence in the case. Amen. He further went on to say, quote, he will spend the rest of his miserable life, I added that in, behind bars because he was found guilty. It's time to move on from Alex Murdaugh. I would love nothing fucking more. And I think the rest of us would love nothing more than to move past the Murdaugh freaking trial and Alex Murdaugh and everything having to do with it. And yes, I called him Alex. Fucking Alec. Yeah. Spelled Alex. Stupid idiot. Anyway, that's it for the Alex Murdaugh. Whatever the hell.
All right. Okay. I have nothing to say on that. To
Thank
be honest
you.
With you.
Well, what does there just really say? Except for the fact that he's an idiot and he killed his wife and his son. So, get out of here.
Idiot. All right. What's the next one, Tanika?
The next one and the final one is the update pertaining to the Stanley Cup. And like we said the last time, not the Stanley Cup that you win after you play a hockey game or whatever the hell.
NHL. Yeah.
Hockey, NHL, same thing. So,
yeah.
So you by now should have heard this, either one of our bonus episodes, which was either last Monday from when we're recording this, or on the 18th, which is still, we're not there yet. But the Seattle-based parent company behind the viral Stanley Tumbler faces more lawsuits, accusing it of intentionally misleading consumers about the presence of lead, as we talked about before. So we have now two separate lawsuits filed last week, which would have been, I think, a couple weeks ago from when this, when I'm reading this, accused Stanley, which was acquired by Seattle-based PMI Worldwide in 2002. A long time ago. I was 11. Of deceiving customers and failing to disclose the presence of lead in its products, most notably its viral quencher tumblers. Both class action complaints were filed in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Washington. In January, the company informed its millions of consumers who bought a quencher in a tumbler in the past several years that the product contains lead, which, if we remember from that episode, is a toxic heavy metal that can cause a variety of health problems, particularly in children and pregnant people. If you didn't listen to that episode and you want to know the details as to what those things are, please go back to that episode and take a listen. I should remember which episode that is. Anyways, look at the titles. It'll be in there. So discussion about the... Okay, so yeah, I'm not going to read this part. So obviously the discussion of the lead thing, once it kind of came up, obviously blew up and everyone found out about it. So Stanley's vacuum insulation process uses, quote, an industry standard pellet to seal the vacuum insulation at the base of the product, which again is, I explained in that episode as well. So the sealing material, it said, includes some lead. So don't get your panties in a bunch, y'all. So some lead. Jesus. I'm being funny. It's there should be no lead. So once sealed, the area containing lead is covered with stainless steel, making it inaccessible to consumers unless you somehow drop it and it breaks. Then you're screwed. So lead is not present on the actual surface of any of the Stanley product that comes into contact with the consumer, nor the contents of the product. And again, this was a statement said by somebody in Stanley. PMI did not respond to a request for comment. So the lawsuits allege, though, that if the tumblers are damaged, as I said in that episode, or worn out from washing and in use over time, the vacuum seal could break and expose the user to lead. No fucking shit. Like, the common sense of people, why does there need to be lead in it anyway?
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
So let's educate the people on what lead is.
I just did.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's toxic heavy metal.
Damn. How did I miss that?
Y'all, it's like 1:30 in the morning. It's fine if you missed it.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I'm almost falling asleep here, so
we're almost done.
All right.
So both lawsuits were filed by women who purchased a Stanley product from a big box retailer. So one was a Nevada woman who bought one for $35 at a Target, and the other one is a California woman who bought a cup at a Dick's Sporting Goods store, and they say they wouldn't have done so if they knew the products contained lead. The Nevada woman later confirmed the presence of lead with an at-home test, according to the lawsuit, which we had an Instagram user who did that, and it kind of went viral from there. The lawsuit complaints note Stanley competitors, Hydro Flask, Owala, and Clean Canteen, use lead-free manufacturing processes for their products. So if they can do it, why can't Stanley do it?
Right.
That's cool to show. Stanley's various size, color, and design tumblers are uniformly marketed as durable, leak-proof, and insulated, keeping drinks hot or cold for hours. The products, which are manufactured in Brazil and China, are made of stainless steel, also advertised as BPA-free. It's really great that it's BPA-free, but then it's also not lead-free.
BPA-free?
Yeah.
Okay. What is that?
I don't know exactly what exactly it is, but I know it's bad for you if it's in there, which is why a lot of these products advertise that they're BPA free.
Right.
If you want to do a Google search on that, you can let me know. But BPA free is basically just, I know it's a bad, unless it's like a toxin or something, but I know it's bad for you to consume.
Is it V with a
B?
Venus?
Like Bob.
Bob, okay.
Yep. So even though like most products these days, in terms of drinking bottles, are BPA free, we also are hoping that they would be lead free. Like, this doesn't make any sense, but the 40-ounce quencher tumbler's recent sales, driven largely by social media, propel the 100-year-plus Stanley brand's revenue from $73 million in 2019 to, hold on to your butts, everybody, $750 million last year, according to CNBC. So they've made a shit ton of money in like the last year or two. But they're about to lose some, because they're definitely going to be, anytime someone starts a lawsuit, there is going to be some sort of payout.
So BPA free, I can't pronounce this word. What it, it's a biz, is it phenol?
Maybe.
BISPHENOL.
Biphenol?
Biphenol. Yeah, okay. So it says here, the product that are BPA free do not contain any traces of biphenol A, as concerns regarding the safety of BPA and its ability to leach into foods and beverages have grown, many manufacturers have committed to making BPA free products. Keep in mind through that not all BPA free products are food safe.
Well, clearly not, because you have freaking Stanley here who does claim, yes, they're BPA free, like most, especially drinking bottles are considered BPA free, but they have lead, which is not safe.
Yeah, it's in their products. It's also bad for children, as
BPA.
Yeah, and everyone else, it says here. So,
Yeah, but the same thing with lead as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So
interesting.
Yeah, I hope. I honestly, even if it's stupid, I hope every person who owns a Stanley cup joins this class action case. I really do. Just for your point. And listen, not everything you see, particularly on TikTok, is the thing to do. It's not the end all be all. Not everything you see is how it should be. Do your research before you buy any product. And I'm mainly targeting TikTok, because TikTok is the reason these things blow up. This is why Stanley blew up as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
you remember last year the pink sauce?
Fucking what?
The pink sauce.
What the hell is that?
It was basically the thing back in, I think it was 2021.
Okay.
I think. And it was sounding like crazy, and people were just like eating stuff with it. And I think the owner of the pink sauce mixed it with some I might be wrong mayonnaise, and then, you know, artificial coloring, and then you just call it
pink sauce. That's fucking disgusting.
Yes.
So something you literally could do by yourself instead of people are just going and buying the shit.
Yeah.
And that's fucking gross. Yeah. And when you said pink sauce, I think like rosé, but I guess there's no fucking way it's rosé sauce.
It was successful at one point, and then
people got exposed.
It got exposed by the FDA. Right. It was FDA approved.
Exactly.
And then I think she sold it to a company, and then it got FDA approved. I think they just tampered with it, just fixed it up a little bit, you know, and then it got FDA approved. Mm-hmm. And then it went on the shelves, like such as Walmart, etc. It stopped selling. It stopped selling. Nobody wanted it anymore. So,
because they don't want to wait for something to be FDA approved, right? But the difference with Stanley is this is a company that has been around for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Stanley Tumblr is something I've been seeing long before this huge thing with TikTok, but for whatever reason, TikTok gets hold of something that people have known about for years and just blows this shit up. It's the same thing with I remember I was watching the other day. My friend had sent me a TikTok, because usually when Love is Blind is on, this one particular friend will send me a bunch of different TikToks, and one of the TikToks was them talking about one of the people who are on Love is Blind. I can't remember who it was now, it doesn't really matter, but one of the people who was on Love is Blind, and they were seen on the Kelly Clarkson show. Mm-hmm. And the person, you can clearly tell, was a young girl, but she's like, if you don't know who Kelly Clarkson is, she owns like this, she has like this TV show, this talk show. And I'm like, uncultured swine, are you kidding me? Kelly Clarkson is more than a talk show host. She's the fucking first winner of American Idol and has made a freaking career for herself over the years. But you, who's probably like 19, only thinks that she's a talk show host. I'm just like, no. But this is what happens with TikTok. It's like they discover things and it's like, oh, this is brand new. And it's like, no, it's not. Don't get me started on TikTok. I mean, we have a TikTok. We have a TikTok for marketing purposes.
Right.
I don't care about TikTok otherwise. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't care about it in the sense that the young generation cares about it. Like, I'm not. If you want to call me old, fine, call me old. I'm on Facebook. But that's because I'm 32. Leave me alone.
Yeah, it's just like these Gen Z. It's Gen Z. So basically, I don't really care for much of the trends that are on there.
I don't deal with trends.
I only like a couple of them. In the past, remember the water challenge?
Is that the one where they did the squeezing the bottle?
No, you take the bucket of water and then.
Oh, the ice bucket challenge.
Ice bucket challenge. That was the
one. Yeah, but they did that for charity.
Charity.
And that was not only seen as on TikTok, but that happened before TikTok, I feel.
Was it before?
I feel like it was before TikTok.
Okay.
Before TikTok was huge anyways.
Was it Vine?
Maybe. It might have been old enough for it to be fucking Vine.
Yeah.
It might have been.
Yeah,
but I wish I can't remember what charity they did it for, but they were doing it for a charity.
Okay.
Yeah, it was charity. So yeah.
And then,
that was fun. The different ones that happened, it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I don't know if you know the Adult Swim challenge as well.
No.
You don't. Okay. So basically, you put a sign anywhere that you feel like is basically like in a weird place. So like I put it into my fridge, and then I have a special quote about I can't remember. I had to look into my Instagram. But what you do is just put the sign somewhere, and then you have a special quote, and then it just exits to Adult Swim. That's what it says on the sign, the Adult Swim. So basically that was a cool thing, because I used to watch a lot of the
Adult That's exactly Swim. It's like it's a way to promote Adult Swim, which I feel like it's a newer network, honestly. So it feels like that's a way to, like, in comparison to other networks.
Oh, no. Adult Swim's been around for a long time.
How long?
I would say, you know Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both, like, it's just a night version.
But Adult Swim, okay, let me remember this, because I would watch the Cartoon Network thing.
Yeah.
That was attached to, like, for us, what I remember is like Teletoon or something. Teletoon.
Yeah.
The Teletoon? Yeah, it would be attached to the end of Teletoon, but there wasn't an actual channel that you could go to that was separate from Teletoon, for example. So now there is, and that's Adult Swim. Yeah. So that's why I said it feels like the Adult Swim, the channel, is more newer, because that wasn't something you had before. Okay. So that is a way for them to advertise people to go to Adult Swim. Because I feel like I only saw Adult Swim in maybe the last years.
Yeah. I think it was more a theme. They're all on the same channel. It's just like,
it's still a way to promote them, though.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
In the end of the day. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not out here promoting Teletoon, because Teletoon's been around for years.
Yeah.
They don't need that.
True. Because, like, Adult Swim is more in the nighttime, and then Teletoon were more for, like, you know, kids and younger younger kids and
you were not allowed to watch anything. You weren't allowed to watch Teletoon past like 11 o'clock if you were a kid, because that's
Teletoon.
Yes, because they don't mess with me on this, because I would watch it. They passed 11 o'clock on Teletoon. Was more of the Adult Swim type shows, and you couldn't watch it past that time, like 11 or I think 11 or 12.
Really? Yeah. I thought Teletoon was just like a home thing, and then it ended at the nighttime with Adult Swim.
It was not called Adult Swim.
Okay, probably America has that.
We have it here, though. We have it here. Yeah. We do. But Adult Swim, it was never called Adult Swim.
Okay.
That is new. It was just, it was called Teletoon at Night, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was called Teletoon at Night.
Was that before? Okay, this probably was before.
That's when I was a kid.
No. Yeah.
That's why I said it was before Adult Swim.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Before. Yeah, that's what I said before.
Yeah, it was never,
It was never its own separate. Adult Swim, I don't know if they still attach it at the end of Teletoon. Like, they don't call it Teletoon Night anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, they still do.
Okay, but Adult Swim has its own channel. My understanding is it has its own channel now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not attached to, I don't believe it's attached to Teletoon. Same channel. Like, I don't think it is. That's what I think anyways. Like, I haven't gone on it. Well, I don't watch Adult Swim anyway, so I don't know. Okay. But I am pretty sure it's a separate channel altogether.
Okay.
Whereas before, it wasn't. It was Teletoon at night.
Teletoon, and okay, true. Yeah. All right, well, I haven't had a cable TV, so I wouldn't.
Like I said, I still don't watch. I still don't watch Adult Swim or Teletoon anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Teletoon since I was a kid, so.
Yeah, so I remember Teletoon was on channel 47. And
45 and Ajax.
45
and Ajax, yeah. Yeah,
47 Pickard and Bobby Scarborough too, but.
Yeah. Maybe a different channel.
Remember the Family Channel? Fat Channel was in the 50s, right?
51 for me.
So,
but they didn't have like that type of situation on Family Channel. It was just Teletoon.
Family Channel was with Disney, I believe, was it?
So they didn't have at night situation. It was just
Double Tap. No, they didn't have any. It was just called a family channel. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I guess basically that's it.
That's it.
All right, guys. So, this ends episode 25 of the Next Tape podcast. The Next Tape podcast is available now on all podcast platforms. We also have a website called solo.tl/nexttapepodcast. Where else are we at, Tanika?
We have Facebook and Instagram at Next Take Podcast. And we have Twitter and TikTok at Next Take Pod.
And then we have an email. So contact us at mikaltanika@gmail.com. So we talked about quite a bit more than we should. Like, it was about like four or five topics this episode.
We have four main topics.
We just corrected you guys on, you know, the Pickering counselor and the mayor situation with the Black History Month, and as well the CRA scam. Is that right?
Yes.
And then the Scream drama.
We did the update on the Murdaugh trial as well as the Stanley Cup situation.
The Stanley Cup. Okay. All right. And a little bit on, you know, the Adult Swim and, you know, that too. And if you guys are interested in that stuff. So, I'm Mikael.
And I'm Tanika.
We are out until next week.
Bye.
Bye.